in places of authority. Not how can we do anything and not do just what God has called us to do?
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. Born in a manger,
but on a tree, died to save man.
This is KAYT. Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Romans chapter 9, I want to commence reading at verse 1. Romans chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And it says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I won't just speak today since we are observing our home mission and prison ministry set in today, the passion for outreach. The passion for outreach. As we look at chapter 9, it would make a lot more sense to us if we were to back up to chapter 8 and recognize how the Spirit of God teaches and how the Spirit of God ministers and illuminates the Father's will to the believer and brings him or her into a place of understanding that you are chosen of God, you are given an opportunity to hear and to heed his directives for your life, how as we are led by the Spirit, and that's the only way that you can come into Christ, according to the 14th verse, for it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, Romans 8 and 14. And all that we understand as relates to the spiritual discernment, the spiritual discipline, and the spiritual directing all comes in being in the purpose, in the power, and the person of the Holy Ghost. When you begin to understand that, you begin to realize that God has a purpose for your life. Romans 8 and 28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so that means very simply that as God has called you into the body of Christ and placed you where he desires in the body of Christ, that there is a purpose for your position, and there is a purpose for your anointing, and there is a purpose for your assignment. And all of it has to do with the glory of God and the good of mankind. It is also clear that when you understand and recognize that no matter what you go through, no matter what you deal with, God has pre-designed and predestinated all of these realities to help shape you, to help bring you into a place of maturity, to develop you into the individual God wants you to be. And it means that you will have temptation, trials, tribulations. You will have opposition from the enemy. But if God be for you, Romans 8:31, then the record is, who can be against you? And so when you come into that point and to that place where you recognize that you are here not by accident, you are here by divine providence, that God navigated your footsteps and your time here on planet Earth for the purpose, again, of glorifying Him and being a blessing to mankind. You then move on to chapter 9 and you begin to understand Paul's passion first for Israel. Understanding that these were the ancient folk that God chose as His own. And then the record is clear that Jesus said He came to His own and His own received Him not. And when that happened, He opened it up to whosoever will. We entered into the family of God by faith through our father Abraham. And so as the seed of Abraham, as children of Abraham, the promises of Abraham are a part of our inheritance. And so we too, God seeks to save and to search out all those who by faith, as well as Israel, to be in a oneness and a rightness of relationship with Him. Let's look, if you will, as we see the passion for this outreach of Paul. The first thing I want you to look at is the reality of a true passion for souls. The reality of a true passion for souls. Can I tell you, everybody who's saved don't have a true passion for souls. The Bible says that he who winneth souls is wise. Why is he who winneth souls wise? First of all, because when you recognize that was the purpose and the plan that God sent Jesus down to planet Earth, He came to seek and to save that which were lost, to bring a lost man back into a right relationship with a holy God. His whole purpose for coming here was to bring us in a place back with God that God would honor. Every miracle, every deed, everything that He did was a side attraction to the main purpose of His coming. He came down here to give His life a ransom for whosoever will, to save us, to make us right with God. That was the purpose of His coming. And when we recognize that, we too become wise in the purpose of the Son of God. When we too seek out to be wise enough to save souls as well, we are commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ to speak to people about Him, to lift Him up that He might draw all men unto Him. We are commissioned to testify of our salvation, of a Savior who's still willing to save whosoever will. We are commissioned to take all of our stories and celebrations from within the church to outside the church to someone who will hear us and want to know more about this God we serve. Matthew 5 tells us, let our light so shine that men will see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You know, when God blesses you, He doesn't bless you to keep it to yourself. God blesses you to be a witness and to testify of His goodness. And listen at this, and not just to our brothers and sisters of the faith. The world wants to know how you got to where you are. That's why there's such a vast majority of books on how to get rich, how to be blessed, how to accomplish this, how to do this, how to do the other. Why? Because there are searching souls. And God is wise enough to bless you with stuff that other folk won't just to get their attention so you can tell them about Him. All right. You see, the stuff God blesses you with is not, again, so it can just be wasted upon you in the frivolous way. It is to be a blessing to you, that you might be a blessing to others, that you might share that as good news of God's goodness to you, so that, again, whatever the hungry soul is looking for can be redirected to the source who's able to give us all things that pertaineth to life. One of the reasons why drug addicts and drug dealers and pimps and all of these kind of worldly folk in the world is able to get, or are able to get, the attention of young people searching for something, is because they drive some of the finest cars with the bling bling and the rings and the thing things and the this this, and it gets their attention. And a young wandering boy with no direction, no purpose, sees all of this and wants to know, how can I get this? You like this here, boy? Let me show you. Come on here a little closer. Let me show you what you can do to get this here. And he leads him down a spiraling path of degradation, all because he wanted the things and the stuff. And he didn't realize, nor did he recognize, that his soul would be required of him for that kind of stuff. One of the reasons why, when you read the Old Testament and look and see how greatly blessed the people of God were, it was a sign to the enemy that the God they served was the blesser of all of the blessings, and that they had came from him, and they would seek no other way to get what they have other than through God. And so when God blesses you and shows you the right way and elevates you, it is so that you can give clear direction to someone who's searching but don't know what they're searching for. They're hungry, but they don't know what they want to eat. They're looking, they know they want to go somewhere, but they don't know where they want to go. And it is through what God has revealed to you and shared with you and shown to you that gives you the ability to make it plain to them. Verse 1 says again, listen, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. The first thing he's talking about, a true experience in Christ. Because he's been saved, it's easy for him to talk about salvation. One of the things that you've got to realize is it's hard to talk what you don't know. And talk it convincingly and talk it effectively. And so one of the things that he knows is his experience in Christ, his ability to share the good news about Christ, has come because of his relationship with Christ. And anybody who's got a relationship with Christ, they may not be able to quote every scripture in the Bible, but I promise you they can tell you some good news about what he's done in their lives. So the reality is, of a true passion for souls, is that they have a true experience of Christ themselves before they try to go any further. Listen, I say the truth where? In Christ. I lie not. That means very simply that when you tell a story, it ought to be a story that is experiential or true, or that bears witness to the reality of your own experience and existence with the Lord. I can't get up here telling somebody else's story and do not have a story to tell myself of the relationship and the wonderful work that God has done in my own life. Listen, you don't realize that every person the Lord has saved has a story to tell. No, it may not be, a story where he picked you up from the gutter and he did this and he saved you from drugs and he saved you from that. Maybe you hadn't gotten that far out. Maybe it wasn't that bad for you. But whatever it has been for you, it is still somebody like you that needs to hear. It doesn't have to be all of that for God to save you. But if it is all of that, know that if he saved this person, he can save another person. And so you got to realize your testimony and your witnessing is the gift that God gives you to share with everybody he brings you in contact and in the unctioning of the Spirit to share this with. You can tell it as a truth and not a lie, not something you heard somebody else say, but your own experience. And I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I don't care how great, how grandstanding your testimony, or how simple and plain it is, can't nobody tell it like you, because when you tell it, God's anointing is on your story. When you understand that, you understand that the passion is from experience. Christ lights the fire. You see, if I light your fire, it might go out. especially if you get mad with me. But if Christ lights your fire, the passion is because of the experience he had. And whether you're mad with me, it won't matter a bit. You get mad with anybody in church, it won't matter a bit, because none of those folk are the ones you are lifting up. It is Jesus Christ himself, and your passion comes from what he has done experientially in you. So not only do we deal with the true experience of Christ, but then we deal with a true exercise of conscience. Because in the rest of that first verse, he says, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now listen at this. This again is a true exercise in conscience. Because one of the things you're going to realize is, if you try to tell somebody else's story and pretend like it is your own, the Holy Ghost is going to say, why are you lying like it's your story? You know, you might have heard somebody got up and told a great story, you know, this morning of testimony, of witnessing, et cetera, et cetera. And then you got home or you went to work or somewhere else, or you met somebody and the Lord told you to tell a story, but you didn't think your story was good enough, so you won't use somebody else's story. And then you begin by the Holy Ghost to realize, wait a minute, this is not a true witness. And then they'll watch you struggle through trying to tell that lie. And you get yourself all twisted up and them trying to tell it. When all you had to say was what God did for you, what God did in you, what God did to you. And believe you me, if God inspires you to tell it, it's going to connect and resonate with the one he has given you the opportunity to share it with. It doesn't have to be some inflated story. It doesn't have to be something someone else has said. And you can't use somebody else's as your own. What God has done for you, he has done it for you, so that through that experience, you with a clear conscience can represent God right. Represent him right. Represent him out of your own experience, and let the Holy Ghost bear witness to your conscience, and your conscience to the Holy Ghost, that you're not lying about this matter. Matter of fact, listen, you don't have to always have the proof available with you to show somebody stuff. All you got to do is tell the truth, and the Holy Ghost is going to bring the conviction and bring the effect that is to be had on that person. All you've got to do is be real about your testimony, about your passion, about your desire to say, well, I guarantee you, if you just get serious about wanting to see somebody else saved, yeah, God will tell you what to say every time there's somebody to talk to. All you got to do is be an instrument available and willing to God, and God will put the right words at the right time by way of the Holy Ghost in your mouth to say to that person. Sometimes you may not realize why they are responding the way they're responding, because you might have thought you didn't do a whole lot, but God may be dealing with them in such a profound way. And you walk away thinking you've not done nothing. And to that person knew God sent you, because what they needed to hear, nobody but God knew those words. And so you got to realize that when you do share the reality of your conviction in a sincere way, and when you recognize that your conscience plays a part in your testimony, that the Holy Ghost will bear witness to that truth. And when the Holy Ghost bears witness to that truth, he will put his stamp of approval on that witness or on that testimony. But I want you to see something else, if you will. Not only do we talk about the reality of a true passion for souls, but then we need to talk about the regularity, if you will, of a true passion for souls. Because some of us might have a true passion for souls, but it's every now and then. And what you got to realize is, when there is a true and sincere passion for souls, there is a consistent regularity with you trying to reach souls. Some of us only get inspired to reach souls when we hear messages on reaching souls. And then you say, oh yes, I do know this man at my job. I do know this sister down the street from me. I do know my brother, my sister in my house. I do know such and such and such. But it's not a real passion, that passion that's continual. It is a passion that is inspired. And if it has to begin that way, that's okay. But the true passion comes again with you connecting for yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and realizing how many other folk like you were when the Lord saved you are still out there waiting on someone like you who knows what they know, been where they've been, done what they've done, and can identify out of that situation to them and connect with them like nobody else because they have been there and done that, is waiting on you. See, one of the reasons why we miss it so much is God is so great in how he cleans us up and saves us and turns us around. But what we don't understand is when he cleans us up and changes us and rearranges us, he turns us around again to go back out of the same door we came into. And he sends us back out there to get more folk who were like we were. And what he did in us, he will do the same thing in them when we recognize that there are more folk like we were still out there. See, but the problem is once we get saved and get holy, then we won't act like we've been holy all our days. God saved you and made you an X, whatever it is you were, so you could go back out and make some more X's. In other words, if you are an ex-drug addict, you don't get so holy and so high and mighty that you can't go back out and tell the other existing drug addicts, man, let me tell you what happened to me. A funny thing happened to me the other day. A man shared Christ with me, and I didn't think it was going to be all of that, but something happened on the inside, and it touched me, and now I have a natural, well, it's a supernatural high that's better than anything I've ever had. I've got joy in the midst of sorrow. I run and ain't nothing, nobody behind me. Tears roll down my face and I'm not sad about nothing. I bust out laughing and I ain't tripping on nothing. It's all of his goodness that's on the inside of me. And those persons who've been looking for that kind of high say, yeah. I want some of that. I want some of that. That's what I want right there. You ever looked at someone, man, and they were just on the high of the Lord, a supernatural high, and you knew it was real? Now, you got some folk who fake and who are phony, and they pretend, and they do all of that. But I'm talking about somebody that's real, man, and you look at it, and you know, when you really, 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 really don't really want it, but you do, you say stuff like, I wonder what they own. What's wrong with them? Because you really don't want to be too inquisitive because you really know what it is. And some of us don't want change enough to get that that's real. But if you ever really want what's real, then you will learn how to not only walk in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but have the indwelling power of the Holy Ghost to guide you and to guard you and to give you the gain of those things, not only in the world, but those things God says are yours in the Word. So I want you to look at verse 2, because verse 2 deals with the regularity of the passion for lost souls. Look at what verse 2 says. Verse 2 says that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. So there are two things in this regularity that Paul talks about here, if you don't mind. He talks about a continual heaviness, and he talks about continual heartbreak. Now listen at this well, because the passion that is consistent in him is a heavy spirit of recognizing that there are still, no matter how many souls come to Christ today, there are still so many more that are lost out there waiting to be saved. And it's as if the heaviness, the moment he gets through rejoicing with those who have come, it's as if that heavy spirit comes back on him, as if to say, you're not through yet. The job is not over yet. Don't get excited and give up and sit down like you've done all there is to do. And so that spirit of heaviness stays with him on a continual basis, because when he sees in his community, when he talks with folk and he realizes unsaved people are all around him in all walks of life, in all areas, in all arenas, it makes him realize how much more does he want to win more souls for Christ. So there's a heaviness in his spirit, but then there's continual heartbreak. Look at what he says again. He says that I have great heaviness. It's not some little passing and fleeting thought. It is something that is with him consistently and heavy. He says, and conjunction, tying the two together, the heaviness in his sorrow and the brokenness in his heart. And all of these things, again, are on a continual basis. Why does he have sorrow in his heart? Or a broken heart? Why does he have a heaviness of spirit? Because, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that you need to know, and I hope it doesn't discourage you, is this: that God is the only one who knows who will be saved by our witnessing and by our testimonies and by our sharings. And so sometimes in the flesh, when we don't see the passion as Christ sees it, and if we don't live for the saving, even if we shared with 1 million people and only one person came to Christ, it would have been worth it to have shared with those 1 million people because of what God has done for you and has extended you as an extension of him to tell somebody you don't know, you might be the seed sower. And somebody else he may have planned later to come along and water the seed. And then later God will give the increase. You can't get upset. You can't get so disappointed where just because that person was not saved the moment you ministered to them, witnessed to them, testified of the goodness of God to them, and nothing happened immediately. You can't give up because they didn't change then. And his heart was broken when he shared many a time the gospel with folk who would not receive, who would not adhere. And yet his passion was not ever dimmed, weakened, watered down. As a matter of fact, it only made him more determined to tell the story and to share with somebody else. One of the things that you need to know and recognize, brothers and sisters, is that we are in spiritual warfare. And if God can get you to do what he has assigned you to do, we will day by day tear the enemy's kingdom down, rip it apart, and bring to deliverance those who are in darkness. But if the devil can discourage us from opening up our mouth and telling someone about the goodness of Jesus, and telling someone about our own testimony, and telling someone else about our own salvation, then it strengthens his kingdom, because the person we could have reached, we won't reach, because we won't be the vessel and instrument God is calling us to be. You see, there are some people in some places God has placed you nearer to them than he's placed me. And there are some people who will never be saved because they'll never come to Greater King David. There are some people who will never see us on television, hear us on radio, because that's not what the devil is desiring for them to do. And because he's hoodwinked, they won't turn it on and get that word. But he's put you there.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Pardon. partner with this ministry and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Welcome to the Word of Faith Kingdom Church Broadcast.